B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Ayin Hey, and we're going to start 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Ayin Dalet Omid Beis. In the previous Gemara, we mentioned the Mon. In the context of affliction, the Mon was also had some association to affliction, as we saw in the Psukim there. And now the Gemara is going to have a lengthy discussion about the Mon, which was this food that Klal Yisrael ate in the Midbar that came down from heaven, Lechem Min Hashamayim. Let's see the Gemara. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Hama'achilcho mon bamidbar, that they would eat the mon in the midbar. Asher lo yodun avisecho, that your fathers didn't know, leman anoyscho, and in order to afflict you, uleman nasoisecho, in order to test you, lehitivcho bacharisecho, in order to do good with you at the end. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi, Chad Omar einoy doime mi sheyesh lei pas besalui li mi sheein lei pas besalui. Because the question is, what's the mean, leman anoyscho, that the mon was given to us in order to afflict you? What form of affliction was there with the mon? This was a food item that they received at their doorsteps every single morning. And what was the affliction there? So one of the opinions say that einoy doime mi sheyesh lei pas besalui, that somebody who's got bread in his basket, then his level of hunger is not similar to the one who has no more bread left in his basket. So with the mon, every day they would eat, but when they finished eating, there would be nothing left for the next day. So the virtue of the fact that their baskets were entirely empty when they finished eating the mon, that had a certain level of affliction to it. V'chad Omar, the other opinion says, what was the affliction of the mon? You cannot compare somebody who can see what he eats and to somebody who cannot see what he is eating. With the mon, as we'll see, they could taste any taste that they wanted and any taste that was good for them. However, they could not see the food items that they were tasting. All they could see was just the simple mon. And since they could not see what they were eating, they could not see what they were tasting, they were eating mon and tasting some other food, and they were not seeing that other food, there's a certain level of affliction there. Omer of Yosef Mikan Remez, from here there's a remez, there's an allusion to what we know that lesumin, to blind people, sha'ichlin ve'ein seveim, that when they eat, they are not satisfied, since they cannot see what they are eating. Omar Abaya says, Hilkoch, therefore, mandi isle sudaso. Somebody who wants to eat a meal, lo yilechlo elo biyamam, he should only eat it during the light hours, during the day hours, that he can see what he is eating. Omar Rabzeira says, Maikro, where would this be alluded to in a pasuk? So he brings a pasuk, the pasuk says in Keheles, Toiv mar'e einayim mehaloch nofesh, gamzeh hevel ru'us ruach, which means that it's better the seeing of the eyes than the experience of the soul. Of course, just eating will satisfy the soul and keep a person alive. But toiv mare einayim, even better is if he can see what he is eating whilst eating it. That's what Rav Zeira said. Rish Lakish had a different explanation in this pasuk, that where do we find that satisfying a need is not as great or not as good as seeing something? When it says toiv mare einayim beisha, that just gazing, looking at a woman is more pleasurable, yaisa migufa shel maisa, even more than the physical act of connecting with her. Shenemar, and he brings this pasuk, toiv mare einayim mehaloch nofesh. And we saw a similar concept already in the Gemara previously, that on Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph, that hirhurei aveira akoshim minu aveira. Continues the Gemara. And this is another pasuk where Rab Ami and Rab Asi are arguing as to what it means. Says the pasuk, it's a pasuk in Mishli. The pasuk says, "Al teire yayin ki yis adam," that you should not be to have too much wine. "Ki yitein bakois einoi yishalich b'meisharim," which means that somebody who sets his eyes on a cup of wine, then yishalich b'meisharim, then it seems that everything is just meisharim, everything is upright. We have to see what the word meisharim actually means. So Rab Ami v'Rab Asi, Chad Omar, kol hanoisin einoi bekoisoi, anybody who sets his eyes on his cup of wine, aroyois kulon doimois elov k'mishoir. Mishoir is a plain and an unobstructed area. So somebody who's intoxicated, then then any type of aroyus, which is inappropriate and immoral behavior, just would seem to him as being plain, and there's nothing stopping him engaging in inappropriate behavior. The other opinion explains, anybody who sets his eyes on the wine, the money of the whole world, says Rashi, this is talking about momoi nachirim, doimelov kumisher, then there's nothing getting in his way, nothing obstructing him from making use of or taking money from somebody else. Continues the Gemara, another posuk where we see that there's a machlekas Reb Ami and Reb Asi, a posuk in Mishli. The posuk says, Dago blev ish, when the person has worry, fear, or dread in a man's heart, then yashcheno, what's the word yashcheno mean? Reb Ami and Reb Asi, they argued, Chad Omar, one said, yashcheno midaito, the word yashcheno is from distraction, that you should take it out of his mind. He should uproot the worry from his mind. B'chad Omar, and the other opinion, said, Yasicheno la'achirim, it comes from the word of to speak over, to tell it over to others. Maybe they will be able to find him some solution and take away his fear. Continues the Gemara. Another pasuk. The pasuk says, V'nochosh ofor lachmoy. The snake's food is dust, is earth. Reb Ami and Reb Asi, and here again Reb Ami and Reb Asi are arguing, Chad Omar afilu oichel kol ma'adani oilam, that the snake, even if it eats all the ma'adanim, all the delicacies in the world, toyim behem tam offer, all he tastes is the taste of dust. Chad Omar, the other opinion, says, afilu oichel kol ma'adani oilam, even were he to eat all the delicacies of the world, in daitim yushevas, he's only calm, his mind is only set at rest, until he eats dust. Only after he eats dust is his mind, so to speak, at rest. And now, regarding this curse of the snake, and we all know that in Parashas Bereishis, when the snake contributed to the chet, the sin of Adam and Chava, that's when he got the curse. So the Bereishis says, Tanya Omer Reb Yosi, Hashem's characteristics and the way he behaves and deals with the world is different to that of a mortal person. Midas basav adam maknites chaveri, when a person chooses to hurt, to come down on his friend, yeredimay lechayov, then he does everything he can to destroy that person's livelihood. Avla Kodesh Baruch Hu, when it comes to Hashem, Eino Kein, he doesn't do that. Even though Kileles Anochosh, that even though Hashem cursed the snake, nonetheless, Oile Legag, Mezonos of Imoy, when the snake goes up on the roof, there's some dust there, there's some earth there, he has his food with him, Yerid Lemato, when the snake goes down, again, Mezonos of Imoy, his food is always with him. Hashem didn't take away the livelihood of the snake, even though Hashem was cursing the snake. Similarly, Kileles Kenan, when Hashem cursed Kenan, one of the sons of Noach, who did something inappropriate with and about Noach, that Hashem cursed him. Nonetheless, what was his curse? His curse was that he was going to be a slave. And a slave, oichel masher rabbi oichel, then he eats what his master eats, v'shoisa masher rabbi shoisa, and he drinks from what his master drinks, because we know that when a person has an eved Kenani, he has to feed him appropriately and give him his basic needs. So here again we see that even though Hashem cursed Canaan, nonetheless his sustenance and livelihood is still with him. Kileles Isha, when Hashem cursed the woman, also in Parashas Bereishis, for her part in the sin, Hakel Rotin Achreo, nonetheless everybody runs after a woman, so you see that she's still taken care of. Kileles Adomo, when Hashem cursed the ground, the earth, Hakel Nizoinin Mimeno, nonetheless the entire world is sustained from what grows from the earth. Continues the Gemara, and we're continuing now with the mon, which was the food of affliction, says the Gemara. The pasuk says, Zocharnu es hadogo, we remember the fish, ashenoichel b'mitzrayim, that we ate in Mitzrayim, chinom. The word chinom seems to be free of charge. Es hakishuim, ve'es avatichim, ve'es hechotzir, ve'es habetzolim, ve'es hashumim. Says the Gemara, Zocharnu es hadogo ashenoichel b'mitzrayim chinom. There's a machlekes, what did they remember? They were complaining. They said, all we have here in the Midbar, in the desert, is mon. We remember, so to speak, the good old days in Mitzrayim, where we were given dogo, chinom, which we would seem to mean that we were given fish free of charge. But this is actually a machleikas. Rav or Shmuel, chad omar dogim, one says it's talking about fish. V'chad omar, what does dogo mean? Dogo actually means aroyes, which is marital relationships. And Rashi says, v'dogo loshen tashmish kamoy v'yidgu loroiv. And after Klal Yisrael got the Torah, there were certain relationships that they were not allowed to have anymore. Relatives are not allowed to marry each other, something which in Mitzrayim was permitted. So the Gemara says, man d'omar dogim, the opinion that says that dogo was fish, then we can understand, d'chsiv noichel. It says in the Pasuk, z'chaun res ha'dogo asher noichel b'mitzrayim, that we ate in Mitzrayim. Uman d'omar rois, and the opinion that says that they were complaining at the fact that there were people they could marry whilst they were still back in Mitzrayim, and now they were no longer permitted to do that. Tichsiv chinom, because it says in the Pasuk that Ashenoichal b'Mitzrayim chinom, which seems to mean free of charge, and it's probable or to be assumed that they were not given fish free of charge, but these relationships were something which is not something that they had to pay for. And now the Gemara is saying, Ulamando Omar Aroyes, but the opinion that says that Dogo is referring to the relationships they could no longer have, Hoksiv Noichal. How did we explain the term Noichal, that in Mitzrayim we could have these relationships, and the Pasuk says, Asher Noichal b'Mitzrayim, we would eat them in Mitzrayim? What's eating got to do with relationships? Answers the Gemara, Lishna Ma'al Yehi, that it's true that it's referring to marital relationships. However, the Torah wants to say it, the Gemara, the Torah always speaks in a refined term, and instead of using the term for relationships, it just says Asher Noichal. And we see this in a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ochlo umocha sopia, v'omro loy pa'alti oven. And the literal translation is that the way of an adulterous woman is that she eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. So there also we find with an immorality and forbidden relationships that the Lashon of the Pasuk uses the term ochlo, that she eats. It's just a way of saying that, or a way of referring to marital relationships. Lamando Omar Dogim, and the opinion that says that Zochan Roes HaDogo, that is referring to that they remembered the fish they ate in Mitzrayim, Mai Chinom, what does it mean, free of charge? Answers the Gemara, to have a Maisin Lahu Mefkera, that indeed they would bring fish from Hefka, from ownerless water, from ownerless property, that even though it's not probable that the Mitzrim, that the Egyptians would give them fish free of charge, they wouldn't even give them straw to make bricks. So they probably didn't give them fish. But nonetheless, they managed, they got fish free. How was that? The Omar Mar, Kishahoy Yisrael Sheavim Mayim, when Klal Yisrael were drawing water, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mazmin Lohem, B'soich HaMayim Dogim Ketanim, then Hashem would prepare for them small fish in the water, B'kadem, in their jugs, that when they were drawing water in their jugs, Hashem would, they would have these fish floating in the water, swimming in the water, and that's what they would eat. Says the Gemara, Bishleim Lamanda Omar Dogim, according to the opinion that says that Klal Yisrael were complaining about the fish that they no longer had, but they had in Mitzrayim, Avla Royas, we can understand that they were not complaining about relationships they had in Mitzrayim, because Lo Pritzi Behu, because they were not engaged in illicit relationships in Mitzrayim, they were not engaged in immorality in Mitzrayim, and therefore they didn't refer back to that as if we're missing those relationships. And then Hainu Dechsiv, we can understand that it says in the Pasuk, Gan No'ul Achoisi Kalo, the Klal Yisrael are referred to a locked garden and a sealed fountain, because they would protect themselves from immorality. Elo Lamando Omar Royes, but according to the opinion that says that Dogo is referring to those relationships that they had in Mitzrayim, Mai Mayon Chosum, what's meant that Klal Yisrael were referred to a sealed fountain if they were engaged in inappropriate behavior? Says the Gemara, Mehanoch de Asirin Loi Pritzabuhu. It doesn't mean that they were busy with prohibited and immoral relationships in Mitzrayim. No, of course not. The Klal Yisrael always protected themselves. It's just that those relationships that were permitted in Mitzrayim and only became prohibited at Matan Torah, after Matan Torah, they complained and says, that those relationships we could have had in Mitzrayim and had in Mitzrayim, we can no longer have them. But they were never engaged in immorality. Continues the Gemara, according to the opinion that says they were complaining about the relationships they could no longer have, then we can understand that it says Moshe heard the people, they were weeping, by their families. What does it mean? Al iske mishpachosav, on the account of their family members, shenesrulhem lishkavetzlam, because those people that they were, so to speak, married to whilst in Mitzrayim, they could no longer engage in relationships with them after Matan Torah, and that's what they were crying about. Elo lamanda omadogim, but according to the opinion that says that they were not complaining about the relationships, they were complaining about the fish they no longer had. My boicha lemishpachosav, what does it mean that they were weeping lemishpachosav by their families? Answers the Gemara, ho v'ho havoi, that both, they were complaining about both, they were also complaining about the relationships they could no longer have, and according to this opinion, besides for being boicha lemishpachosav, they were also being boicha for the dog or for the fish that was no longer available to them in the Midbar. Continues the Gemara, that in the pasuk we saw before, that when Klal Yisrael complained and they said, Zocharnus hadogo, we remember the dogo, they also said, Eis hakishuim, that they also remembered the kishuim that may be translated as cucumbers, the avatichim that maybe mean the melons, and then you've got the chotzir, which possibly means the leeks, the betzolim, which often refers to onions, the shumim, which often means garlic. Those are the things that they remembered. Ba'ami v'ravasi, chad omar toam kol aminim tamu b'mon. One of these opinions holds that when they were eating the mon, they could actually experience any taste they wanted. Tam chameshes haminim, however, these five, the kishuim avatichim, chotzer, betzolim, and shumim, chameshes haminim alolu, loy toam uboy, they could not taste that in the mon, and therefore they were complaining about that. Chad omar, the other opinion says, tam kol haminim, the taste of any other species, any other types of food, when they would eat the mon, not only would they taste the taste, but they could also feel the substance and texture of the food they were eating. But these five, they could only taste the taste of these five, but they could not actually experience the substance and texture of these five species, and that's why they complained about them. Continues the Gemara, another pasuk regarding the mon, that the pasuk says, "Vayikru uvenei Yisrael es shemoi mon." Klal Yisrael called this food by the name of mon. V'hu kezera gad lovon, and it was a seed of gad lovon. It was white, and the literal translation here would be that it was like a white gad seed. And we'll soon see that that cannot be the correct reading because the seeds of the gad is actually not white. We'll see that more about that later. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabasi. Rabasi says that when it says Gad Lovon, it doesn't mean that the Zera Gad, the seed of the Gad, is Lovon, because it's not. Rather, it's also got a property similar to Gad, and it also has a property of Lovon. Regarding the Gad, it's only Ogul Kegido, it's round like this seed of the Gad. However, the lovon is not like the seed of the gad, rather the lovon kumargolius, it was white like a pearl. Tanin amyachi, we see a brisa to this effect. Others say, have a version here, tonu rabbonon, that gad, that when it was, when the mon was similar, was likened to gad, shedoyme lezera pishton begiv oilim, it's similar, it resembles the flax seeds while still in their capsules, in the giv oilim, and they were round. As we saw before, that it's ogul kegido. Acherim oimrim. Others say that gad, that the mon is compared to gad, shedoyme lehagoda, it resembles agoda. And agodus is a type of area in Torah, which is shemoyshechas liboy shel odom kamaim, it draws the heart of a person like water flows. And so too the mon would very much draw the hearts of a person. The mon did have this virtue that you could have any taste of any food in the world you wanted, and that was clearly something that would draw the hearts of a person. Tani Idoch, in another braisa we learnt, gad, the word gad is to tell us that the mon is compared to shemagid from the term magid. Magid means to tell. Shemagid le'emli Yisrael. The mon would actually teach and say things to us. What would it say? Iben tisha l'rishon, iben shiva l'achrein. If a woman lost her husband or got divorced from her husband and then married another husband, and 7 months after she married the second husband, which was 9 months after she was last with her first husband, she had a child. And we don't know, is this child 7 months pregnant from the second husband or 9 months pregnant from the first husband? So how would the mon tell us and determine that? Because we know that when they would collect the mon, there would be exactly the measure of oimer for every head that belonged to the family. And if the second husband, after his wife gave birth, had an extra oimer, we know that it was his child. And if it was in her first home that had the extra oimer, then we would know that this is a child from her first husband. That's what we learned from the word gad, that the mon would teach us something, would tell us something. What's the lavon telling us? Lavon, the white, shemalbin avin isem shel Yisrael, it would whiten the sins of Klal Yisrael. And Rashi explains that since there was a certain fear that they had, maybe they're not going to get the mon the next day, they therefore were constantly making sure that their hearts were with Hashem and connected to Hashem, and they were constantly in a state of repentance and closeness to Hashem, and they had no sins. Says the Gemara Tanya Rabbi Yosi Omer, Kashem Shehanovi Hoyo Magid Lem LeYisrael, Mahu Shebuchurin Uma Shebuzdokim, in the same way as a prophet would tell Klal Yisrael concealed pieces of information, as if telling them what was in the holes and cracks, so too Kach Hamon, the Mon also Magid Lem LeYisrael, Ma Shebuchurin Uma Shebuzdokim. The Mon was also capable of revealing what was otherwise concealed, so to speak, in holes and cracks. Ketzad, where would we find such a thing? Shnayim shebo'u l'Moshe l'din, if two people came to Moshe Rabbeinu as for a din Torah, for a court case, ze oimer avdi gonavto, one would say, Reuven would say, you Shimon, you stole my slave, ze oimer, and Shimon would say, no, ato machartoili, you Reuven sold me your slave. Omer lehen Moshe would say, La'boiker mishpat, we'll wait for the morning, and then there will be a judgment. L'mochor, on the next day, im nimtza oimer b'beis rabbi rishon, if we find the extra oimer, the measure of mon for this slave, in Reuven's house, b'yodoya, shezeh gonovi, then we know that Shimon stole the slave. Im nimtza oimer b'beis rabbi sheni, and if we find the extra oimer of mon, in Shimon's home, b'yodua, shezeh mochriloi, then we know that Reuven sold it to Shimon. V'chein, and similarly, ish v'isha sheba'u lifnei Moshe l'din, if a couple came to Moshe Rabbeinu for judgment, zeh oimer, the husband says, hi sorcho elai, that I want this marriage to continue, but she'd done something which forces me to divorce her and to deprive her of the ksuba. V'hi oimeres, however, she says, hu sorach alai, he's just making this up because he doesn't want me anymore. He wants to divorce me without paying the ksuba. Omer lehen Moshe, so Moshe would say to them, Laboiker mishpat, we'll wait till the morning. Lemochor, the next day, im nimtza oimer b'beis ba'alo, if we see that her measure of oimer was delivered together with her husband's, b'yodua, so then we'll know, shehi sorach alav, that he wants her to stay in the marriage. And it's just that she did she wronged him and is forcing him to divorce her without giving her the ksuba. Nimtza oimer b'beis avia, if however her measure of mon, the oimer, is found in her father's house, then b'yodua shehu sorach aleha, then we can know that he is the one that doesn't want her anymore in his life, and he's the one that just doesn't want to pay the ksuba, and therefore he's made up that she did something wrong and doesn't deserve the ksuba, but really he doesn't want her in his life anymore. And we see that from the fact that the mon did not come down in his home, and that's how we would know that indeed he is required to give her the ksuba. That's how the Marsha explains this Gemara, and others have other explanations. Continues the Gemara. Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Uberedes hatal al hamachane lailo. So we see in that Pasuk that the dew would fall al hamachane, in the camps, on the camp, at the camp at night, Yerid Hamon, Olov, the mon would descend on it. So what do we see from there? We see that the mon came in the camps. Uchsivan is another pasuk that says, V'yotza ha'om, the people would go just outside the camp, V'loktu, and they would collect the mon. So it would seem that the mon didn't fall in the camps, it fell just beyond the camps. Uchsivan, in yet a third pasuk, it says, V'shatu ha'om, that the people would have to roam far from the camps, V'liktu, and collect the mon. So we see that the mon fell far from the camps. Ha'oketzad, how do we reconcile these three psukim? Says the Gemara, tzadikim, for the tzadikim, yorad al pesach boteim. The mon would fall at the entrance of their homes in the camps, so they wouldn't have to go far to fetch it. Beinoinim, for the people who are not tzadikim and not rishoyim, they were the average people, yotzu v'loktu, they would go just outside the camp and collect the mon. Rishoyim, however, the wicked people, shotu v'loktu, they would have to roam very far in order to fetch their portion of mon. Continues the Gemara. Now we're going to discuss what this mon, what was the substance of this mon. Ksiv in one posuk it says, Hinani mamtir lochem lechem min hashamayim, I'll rain down from you bread from heaven. So that seems to be that what came down was actually ready-baked breads. Uchsiv in another posuk it says, V'osu oisoy ugois, that they would make them into round cakes, which means that they came down ready to be baked, but they still had to be baked. Uchsiv, and it says in yet another posuk, it's actually that same posuk that speaks about the ugois, but early on in the posuk it says, V'tochanu borei chaim, that they would ground the mon in a mill. So we see that not only is it not a ready-made bread, not only is it a cake that just needs baking, it actually needs to be ground in a mill before they could even prepare it and bake it. Ha'ketzad, how do we reconcile these three psukim? And again, the Gemara says, tzadikim, for the tzadikim, lechem, the mon fell in the form of ready-made bread, they could eat it straight away. Beinoinim ugois, for the average people, the mon fell in a form of cakes that they still had to bake it. They still had to do something to prepare it, but all they needed to do was bake it. Roshoyim, however, for the wicked people, tochanu barechaim, it would be kernels that fell that had to be ground in a mill, and only then could it be prepared for baking and eating. Continues the Gemara, that same pasuk we just mentioned, shatu ha'om, that the people would roam, v'loktu, they would collect, v'tochanu barechaim, they would grind it in a mill, or they would pound it in a mortar, ubishlu, they would cook it, bapor, v'osu oise ugois, etc. So it says here, the pasuk mentions that oy dochu b'madoicha, which means or they would pound it in a mortar. Omer v'yud amarav, v'iteimer b'choma b'reb chanina, one of these two chachomim said, melamed, this teaches us, sheyorad lehem liyisroel im hamon, that together with the mon came down tachshitei noshim, cosmetics for the women, dovo shenidoich b'madoicha, and cosmetics are typically pounded in a mortar. When it says in the pasuk uvishlu baporu, that they would cook it in a pot, Omer b'chama says this alludes to something else that came down with the mon. Not only with the mon came down something that would be pounded, namely the cosmetics, rather melamed sheyorad lehem liyisroel im hamon, what else came down? Tzikei kedera, the spicing, the seasonings for the cooked dish to make it sweet, and it should taste sweet, it should smell sweet, that also came down together with the mon. What else came down together with the mon? It says the pasuk, Vayikhu melifnei Moshe is kol ha'truma sheviu bnei Yisrael lemelechus avodas hakodesh la'asos oisam, v'hem heviu eilov. It says that they continued bringing to Moshe oid nedava, more gifts and contributions for the Mishkan, baboiker baboiker, morning after morning. The question is, what does that mean? My baboiker baboiker. Omer Shmuel bar Nachmeini, Omer Bienason, midavar sheyorad lohem baboiker baboiker, that they would bring to the base, to the Mishkan, they would bring these contributions from things, from that which came down morning after morning. Which means that with the mon that descended every morning, something else came down. Melamed sheyorodu lehem liyisroel avonim toivois, that when the mon came down, then precious stones, umargolios, and pearls also came down im hamon, with the mon. And now the Gemara brings another pasuk. Now the pasuk says in Shmois, Vanasim Heviu Eis Avne Ashoyam Veis Avne Amiluim Ra'ephod Velachoshem. Who are these Nasiim who brought the precious stones for the Ephod and the Choshen? So normally one understands the Nasiim, they were the princes, they were the heads of each tribe, was called a Nasi, and the Nasi would bring, they were the ones that brought these precious stones. But here the Gemara is saying, Tana, the Braisa we learned, Nasiim also means a cloud. That the Nasiim, they were the clouds, mamash, real clouds, brought these stones, because it was the clouds that brought the mon, also brought these precious stones. V'cheinu oimer, we find in another pasuk that Nasiim refers to clouds, because it says in the pasuk in Mishli, Nasiim v'ruach, clouds and wind, v'geshem ayin, but there's no rain. Ish mishalil b'matas shoker. So you see there that Nasiim can mean clouds, and indeed it was the clouds that brought the Avnei Shoham and the Avnei Miluim. And now we're going back to the qualities of the Mon, says the Gemara. The Gemara brings another pasuk, back to that pasuk that we mentioned before. Shotu ha'om v'loktu v'tochanu v'orechaim oidochu b'madoicho u'bishlu b'afor v'osu oisoi ugois v'hoyo tamoy ketam l'shad hashomen. That the taste of the mon was like a leshad hashomen, like dough kneaded with oil. Omer Bavo. Bavo says that this word leshad is actually similar or comes from the word shad, which is a breast. Ma shad ze, just like a breast. Tinoik toyim bo kamot ha'omim, that a child who's nursing from the breasts of his mother tastes many tastes depending on what the mother eats, that's the taste of the milk. Af hamon, so to the mon, calls manches, say whenever Klal Yisrael would eat the mon, moitzin bo kamot ha'omim, they would find in it different tastes. Ikud amra, others say, l'sheid mamash, that this is actually compared to a shade, which is a demon, ma sheid ze. In the same way as a demon, mishapich lekama gvonim, it can change to different forms. Af hamon mishapich lekama tomim, so too the mon changes to different forms. Continues the Gemara. Another pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe," and Moshe said, "Beseis Hashem lochem boerev bosor." When Hashem is going to give you in the evenings meat, lechul to eat, velechem baboike lizboya, and bread in the morning, with which to satisfy yourselves on. Bishmoy Hashem etlunaseichem, when Hashem heard you complaining, Hashem atem malinim alov, v'nachnu mo lo yolinu tlunaseichem ki al Hashem. So what do we see in this pasuk? Tonem mishmei Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho. We learned, it was taught in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho, that boso sheshoalu, when they complained that they didn't have any meat, the meat they asked for, shaloi kohigen, it was inappropriate that they made that request. Why was it inappropriate? Number one, one can survive without meat. And number two, they had plenty cattle. They could have just shechted some of their cattle. And therefore, nitinem shaloi kohigen, when Hashem actually gave them the meat, it came down in, so to speak, an improper fashion. As we're going to see, they suffered from it. However, lechem, when Klal Yisrael asked for the bread, which shesharlu kohigen, it was an appropriate request, because number one, you cannot survive without bread, and number two, they didn't have any bread on which to live on. And nitinem kohigen, therefore, and it was given to them in a proper manner. Mikan, from this pasuk, limdo teira derech eretz, we learn proper conduct of when to eat. Shelo yechal odom bosor elo balaylo, that the time to eat the meat would be later on in the day towards evening. Because that's what it says in the pasuk. The pasuk says that it would be lechem baboike lizboya, and it would be boerev bosor lechil. In the evening they would eat the meat, and in the morning they would eat the bread. Asks the Gemara, v'ha'omar abayed dabay not say, hay mandi isle sudasa, a person who has a meal, lo yilech le'elo b'yamama, he should only eat it during the daytime. As we said before, it's important to see what you're eating, and only in the daytime there's enough light that you can see what you're eating. So over here, how can you say that you should eat this meal in the evening when there's no light? Answers the Gemara, Ke'en yamama ka'omrinon. We're talking about that you should eat it when it's similar, when it's like the day, which means that there should be light, one should be able to eat it towards the evening, but the area, the food should be lit up with the torchlight. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Acher Bayaku. Bitchila, at first, Hoyu Yisrael Doimin Katar Nagoilim. At first, Klal Yisrael, they wouldn't have this concept of meal times. It would be like chickens like hens shemenakrim ba'ashpo, that they just nibble in the trash heap without any rhyme and reason, without any times. Acheba Moshe ve'kovalem is mansuda, until Moshe Rabbeinu came and established for them regular meal times, as we said before, that the bread was eaten in the morning and the meat was eaten towards the evening. Continues the Gemara. Now we're talking about the meat, which Klal Yisrael demanded, and Hashem gave it to them. As we know, they got the slav. And the Pasuk says, Habosor idenu bein shineim, that the meat was still between their teeth. Terem yikoris, they had not yet chewed it. Ve'af Hashem chorobom, and Hashem was very angry against his people. Vayach Hashem ba'om, and Hashem struck the people. Makor rabam oid, a very mighty blow. Uchsiv. And it says in another pasuk, Ad choydesh yomim ad asheyetze me'apchem, until a month of days, etc. That they died a month later. And this seems to be a contradiction. Ha'ketzad, did Hashem strike them whilst Habosso Idenu Ben Shinem, whilst the meat was still between their teeth, they would get struck and they would get killed? Or did it take a month for them to die? Says the Gemara, Beinonim Le'alta Mesu. Those that were not such wicked people and didn't deserve to suffer so long, they died straight away. Le'alta Mesu. Rashoim, however, the wicked people, Mitztarim V'Hilchim, they suffered for a whole month, Ad Chodesh Yomim, for 30 days, for a month, and only then they died. It's interesting that over here, Tzadikim are not mentioned. It could be that the Tzadikim didn't eat from the Slav at that point. Continues the Gemara, that the Pasuk says, regarding the Slav, V'yokom ho'om kol ha'yoyim ahu, the people arose that whole day, v'chol ha'layla, the whole night, v'chol yoyim ha'mochras, and the whole next day, v'yaswes ha'slav, they collected the slav, hamamit, the least of the people, of the piles, osaf collected asoro chamorim, 10 chamorim, v'yishtachu lohem shotoyach, svivois ha'machno. We have to understand, what does it mean, v'yishtachu? The literal translation is, that they spread out, that around the camp, they would spread out these piles and piles of slav. Omer Shlokish, Shlokish says, Al tichru vayishtachu. Don't read the word as it's written, that it means vayishtachu, they spread out. Elo vayishchatu, rather that they slaughtered, they shechted the slav. Melamed sheneschayvu seneim shel Yisrael shchita. This teaches us that the enemies of Klal Yisrael, really it's referring to Klal Yisrael, just we don't want to speak about Klal Yisrael this way, so it's referring to them as the enemies of Klal Yisrael, that they were deserving shchita, they were deserving of being slaughtered. Continues the Gemara, that in that same Pasuk, it says, Vayishtachu lohem shotoyach. What is shotoyach? Also spreading. They would spread, a double term, Vayishtachu lohem shotoyach, that they would spread out, a spreading of these slav birds. Shotoyach, tonu mishmed Yabishua ben Korach, it was taught in the name of Yabishua ben Korach, al tikru shotoyach, don't read it as shotoyach spreading, elo shochit, rather that slaughtering. Melamed sheyorad lem nisroel im hamon. So we learn from here that together with the mon, and some take out the words im hamon, is difficult words to understand, but yorad lem nisroel, that what came down to Klal Yisrael, the slav is dovo sheton shchita, is something that had to be shechted. Because these birds suddenly came, and we need to know, do they have to shecht them, do they not? So it says, since it says shotoyach, and Abishua ben Korcho said you can read it also shchoit, which means to shecht, from here we learn that these birds had to be shechted before they could be eaten. Omer Rebbe, and some say this is Rebbe Yossi, but Rebbe said, v'chimikan atalomid, is this from where you learn that the slav had to be shechted? V'alei kvar nema, does it not say in the posuk, do we not see in Tehillim, that when Tehillim relates what these slav were, the pasuk says, "Vayamtir alehem keofor," and it rained upon them meat like dust. Vayamtir alehem keofor she'er ukechil yamim, and like sand of the seas, oif konof, the winged birds. So you see, the pasuk calls them winged birds, and we know that birds have to be shechted. So we don't learn it from the word shotoyach. We learn it from the fact that the pasuk in Tehillim says that they were winged birds. V'tanya, we learnt in a brisa, Rebbe Omer, and there's an issue because if at the beginning of the line what we just saw a moment ago was Rebbe, then this wouldn't be Rebbe, but Rebbe Omer, that we learn from another pasuk. The pasuk says, V'zavachto kasher tzivisicha, The pasuk says that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that ki yirchat mimcha amokim as yivchar Hashem elikecha losum shmei sham v'zovachto and you will shecht mibkorcho mitzoyncho from your cattle, from your flocks, ashenos na Hashem lecho, that Hashem will give you kash etzivisicha, that you will shecht it like I have already commanded you, and only then v'ochalto b'shorecho b'cholavas nafshecho, you can eat it to your heart's desire. And the question is, where do we find kasher tzivisicha? Where had Hashem previously commanded Moshe Rabbeinu that one has to do shechita? And the Braisa says, Moshe, it seems that Moshe had already previously been told and taught orally alaveshet valakono, on the food pipe and on the wind pipe, al roiv echod ba'oif, that of these two pipes one has to shecht most of any one of them in order to be able to eat a bird, v'alreiv shnayim, and most of both of those pipes, babahema, to eat from a big animal. So the question is, where do we see, where did Hashem previously tell Moshe Rabbeinu about shechita? It must be that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu orally when the slav came that you have to shecht the slav. The pasuk in Tehillim we mentioned says that it was that the slav was a winged bird. And Hashem obviously told Moshe Rabbeinu then that Baal Peh, as we see in this brisa, Kasher Tzivisicha, Hashem had previously told Moshe Rabbeinu that winged birds need to be shechted. Elo ma Talmud loimar shatuach. If we learn that the source that the slav had to be shechted was from the fact that Hashem obviously told Moshe Rabbeinu previously, then what do we learn from the word shatoyach? Says the Gemara, Melame, this teaches us Shayorad Lohem Mashtechin Mashtechin, that layers and layers of slav fell before Klal Yisrael. And now the Gemara is going back to the Mon. It says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hineni Mamtir Lohem Lechem Min Hashemayim. So the Pasuk says that Hashem will rain down bread from heaven. Uchsiv, in another Pasuk it says, Vashatu Aom, etc. That it seems that it tasted not like bread, it tasted like oil. Dough kneaded with oil. Uchsiv, and in yet another pasuk it says that Klal Yisrael called it mon, v'hu kazera gadlovon v'tamei ketzapichis bidvash, it tasted like a cake fried in honey. How do we reconcile these three psukim? Did it taste like bread, did it taste like oil, or did it taste like honey? Rabbi Yosi b'Reb Chanina explained as follows. Lena'orim, for the youth, the young people, lechem, it tasted like bread. Lezkenim, for the elderly, shemen, it tasted like oil. Latinoikis, and for the young, with the very small children, dvash, it tasted like dvash. And there's a discussion how this fits in with what we said before, that the mon could actually taste of anything that they wanted. The Mefarshim discuss it. Continues the Gemara. Ksiv, if you actually read the letters, the words of the Pasuk, these birds, what were they called? Shin Lamad Yudvav, it was called Shlov. That's how it's written. The Karinon, however, when we read it, it's written Slov, with the Sin, which is the same tone as with the Samach. Omer Pchanina, and Reb Chanina explains that Tzadikim, when the Tzadikim would eat it, Oichlin Oisei B'Shalva, they would eat these birds, they would consume it with in tranquility, and with shalva. However, Roshoyim Oichlin Oisei, when the Roshoyim, when the wicked people would eat it, then V'doim Alehem K'silvin, then to them it resembles thorns, which is silvin. And so for the Roshoyim, when they ate these slav, it was like thorns. Continues the Gemara. Omer B'chonon Bar Rava, Dalad Minei Slavim, there are four different types, kinds of slav. V'eluhein, one is called Sichli, one is called V'kivli, the one is called Upisyoini, and one is called Slav. Ma'alya dekulhu, the superior of them, of the four, is the Sichli. Gria dekulhu, the inferior of them, is the Slav itself. Vahava, and this Slav is Katsipoyrta, was like a small bird, but there was so much fat in that small bird, Umwisvinon lo betanoira, when one would place it in an oven, the Tofach, then because of the amount of fat in it, it would expand, it would blow up, it would bloat. V'hava moli tanoira, it would fill the whole oven. Umaskinon le atleisa reifa, They would then take this blown up bird, this slav, and put it over 13 loaves of bread, one on top of the other. V'achreino, and the lowest, the bread at the bottom of the pile, eino necheles, was so saturated with the fats that came from this slav that it could not be eaten elia lidei tarevus, only with a mixture of other foods. Continues the Gemara. Rav Yehuda mishtakach le beidoni. Rav Yehuda would find slav between his barrels. Hashem would send him the slav between his barrels. Rav Chisda mishtakach le beitzivei. And Rav Chisda, he would find the slav in the woodshed. Rava, who was Rav Chisda's son-in-law, Maisele Arise, his worker, would bring him every day, kol yoyma every day, he would bring him some slav. Yoymuchad, one day, loy Aisa, this worker would not bring the slav. Omar, so Rava said, my hai, what is this? Did Hashem not send any slav today? Solik li'igra, so he went up onto the roof. Shomei li'inuka, and he heard, almost as if coincidentally, but obviously wasn't a coincidence, it was a message to him, he heard the child saying to Omar that said a posuk, Shomati, I heard, vatirgaz bitni, and my innards would shudder, posuk in Habakkuk. And that child happened to be saying it, and Rava heard. Omar, so when Rava understood from the fact that Hashem made him hear this posuk now, Shema minei, I can derive from this that noch nachshei derav Chisda, that his father-in-law, Rav Chisda, had passed away. Ubedil Rabba Ochal Talmuda, and it was on the account of his father-in-law, his teacher, that the student, that him himself, Rava, had eaten from the slav. And now that Rav Chisda had passed away, then Rava no longer received the slav. Continues the Gemara. Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vatal Shichvas Hatol, that the layer of the dew which accompanied the mon would go up, it would ascend, which would seem to mean would evaporate. Vehine, and behold, al pnei midbar, on the surface of the midbar, dak mechuspos, there was something very thin which was exposed, dak kakfoir al haoretz. What does this teach us? We'll get back to that in a minute. Uchsiv, and in another pasuk it says, uberedes hatal, when the dew actually descended onto the camp, uberedes hatal al machne lailo yered hamon olov, then the mon was on top of this layer of dew. So how Omer Abyeisi Barab Chanina, Tal Milamalo, Vital Milamato. From these two psukim, it seems there was dew that was on top of the mon, and there was dew underneath the mon. There was the mon that fell on top of the dew, and there was the dew that evaporated, that ascended and revealed the mon. Vidoime Kmoisha Munach Bakufsa, and the mon came down similar, it appeared as though it was resting, it was placed inside a box, dew on top and dew underneath. Continues the Gemara that we saw in that pasuk. Vatal shichvas hatol v'hine al pnei amidbar dak mechuspos. Dak means it was thin. The mon was thin, and mechuspos. What does the word mechuspos mean? Omer Reish Lakish, dovo sheni moyach al pisas hayad. The word mechuspos has also got mem ches at the beginning, also pei samach at the end, and this alludes to the two words mechus, that it's nimoyach, it melts, al pisas hayad, on the palm of the hand. Rabbi Yechanan says that the word mechuspos, when written without the vav, has the numerical value of 248. And so says Rabbi Yechanan, dovo shenivla b'mosayim v'arboim u'shmoino yivorim, the mon was something that was totally absorbed into the 248 limbs of the person. Asks the Gemara mechuspos with a vav tuvahu, because when we read it, it's read with a chu, which in the place of the vowel, there's a vav there, and then it's 254, not 248. On Rav Nachman Beitzchok says, you're right, but mechuspos ksiv, if you look in the Chumash, you'll see it's written without a vav, and therefore it has the numerical value of 248. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon, Lechem Abirim Ochal Ish. What does this mean? And this is a pasuk in Tehillim that says that, referring to the mon is called Lechem Abirim, that the people, Ochal Ish, that the humans would eat the Lechem Abirim, the bread of Abirim. What does that mean? Lechem Abirim Ochal Ish, Lechem Shemalachi Ashoris Oichlin Oisoi, the Malachi Ashoris, the angels, are referred to Abirim, possibly because Abir is translated as the strong ones, and these malachim are very strong. But either way, these Malachi Ashoros were used to eating this bread. Rebbe Akiva, that was the opinion of Rebbe Akiva. When Rebbe Shmuel heard that Rebbe Akiva said that Lechem Abirim means that this mon was actually food that was eaten by Malachim, Omar Lehem, he said to them, to the Talmidim, that said to him, what to relate to him, what Rebbe Akiva said, he said to them, Tzu, go out, v'imru lei l'Akiva, and tell Akiva, tell Rebbe Akiva, Akiva to'isa, you've made a mistake. Do angels eat bread? Does it not say in the Pasuk that lechem lo yochalti umayim lo yishosisi? The Moshe Rabbeinu said that when I was in heaven, I didn't eat any bread, nor did I drink any water, because in heaven, in Shamayim, one doesn't eat or drink. So obviously the Malachim don't eat any bread. Elomani Mekayim, says Rabbi Shmuel, you want to know what the word lechem abirim means? That abirim is lechem shenivla, possibly the word abirim is similar to the word evorim, that it would be absorbed into the 248 limbs of the person. Elomani Mekayim asks the Gemara, if this food was totally, entirely absorbed, and there was no excrement, there was nothing that would be let out of the body, there was no waste, then what? How do you understand the pasuk that says that Hashem told Klal Yisrael, that when they would go and relieve themselves, then they were told, you should have this shovel with you, that they were told that when they would go out of the camps to relieve themselves, then they would use the shovel to dig a little hole, and they would relieve themselves in that hole, and then they would cover up the excrement. And if you say that this was food that was entirely absorbed in the limbs, why would they be going outside the camps to relieve themselves? Answers the Gemara, Dvarim shetagrei umayisaila moichrenoisom lahem, the waste that they would have to release outside the camps was from what they had eaten from the peddlers of the nations that would sell to them other food items other than mon, and that's what they would have the waste from. Rebbe Lozo ben Paratoimir, he argued and said, he said the mon was so amazing and so affected their bodies that even the food items that the peddlers of the goyim, the nations of the world would sell to them, mon mafigom, the mon would purify it and there would be no waste whatsoever. And if so, the question comes back, Velomani Mekayim, what do I need? V'yosei tia lazeinecha, that there was this shovel that they with which they would dig a hole when they would relieve themselves outside the camps. Says the Gemara, l'achar shel sorchu, after they complained about the mon, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Ani omarti, I said, you k'malechei ha'shoros, I'm going to give you, you'll be similar in one aspect like Malachim, I'm going to give you the mon, you won't have to relieve yourselves, there'll be no waste. But Achshav, now that you complained, Ani matriya choysom sholish parasois, I'm going to burden them to have to leave, to have to walk 3 parasot. And 3 parasot is a very, very large area. Parasot is 8,000 amos, it's 4 mil. And 3 parasot is 24,000 amos they would have to go in order to relieve themselves. And the Gemara says, Dechsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, Vayachanu al Yardain, and they camped by the Yardain along the Jordan, Mi Beis HaYeshimois, from the place called Beis HaYeshimois, Ad Ovel HaShittim, until the place called Ovel HaShittim. Va'omer Rabba Bar Bar Chona, Ledidi Chozi Liyahu Asra, I saw that area, V'hav Yetlos HaParasi, and it was 3 parasois, the square was that area. V'tonem, we learnt in a Braisa, K'shanifnim, when they would relieve themselves, Ein Nifnim, because they didn't know in what direction the camps that would suddenly have to move forward or to the side, they knew that the camp would never be going backwards. So Ein Nifnim, they would not relieve themselves, Loi Lifnim, not in front of the camps, Loi Litzidim, and not alongside the camps, Elol Acharim, behind the camps. So the people who were positioned that their tents were in the front of the camps, they would have to walk all the way back from the area Mibeis HaYeshimois till the Ovel HaShittim, which was an area of 3 parasois, in order to relieve them. Continues the Gemara, that the pasuk says, "Va'ato nafshenu yevesha," and now our lives are parched. Ein koil, there's nothing. What did they say? Omru, they said. That means the Klal Yisrael said, "Osid monzeh." Eventually, that this mon is going to shetipech b'meim. It's just going to expand and build up in our intestines because they were not needing to relieve themselves. Klum yesh yiludi isha shemachnes ve'ina moitzi. Is there any human being, any creature that's born from a woman that takes food in and does not have to let go of any waste? And that's what they were saying, and they were complaining about that. Continues the Gemara, and the Vilna Gaon says that the next two lines, the first part of this brisa, is a repetition or is not to be read, but we're going to read it because it's in our version of the Gemara. Ukshenamru dvarim lifnei Rabbi Shmuel. And this is going back to what we saw before. What does lechem abirim ochal ish mean? Rabbi Akiva says it means that the lechem, the bread, which malachim would eat. So when it was said to Rabbi Shmuel, Omar lehem al tikri abirim elo ivorim, dovo shenivla b'mosayim v'arboim ushmoin ivorim. As we said before, that even though the mon was totally absorbed in all their limbs, nonetheless they would have to relieve themselves because of what they would eat from food items that came from far away. Dovar Acher, says the Braisa, Lechem Abirim Ochal Ish. Who was this Ish? What does it mean that Ish, this man, ate Abirim bread? Zeyu Yeshua. This is referring to Yeshua bin Nun. Sheyorad lo imon, that when the mon came down for him, it was equal to keneged kol Yisrael, to the amount that fell for the entire Klal Yisrael. Where would we know that from? Ksiv hoch, it says in the posuk, lechem abirim ochal ish. Or ksiv hosom, in a different posuk, it says, kach lecho es Yeshua bin Nun, take Yeshua bin Nun, ish asher ruach boy. Yeshua himself was a man in whom there was a spirit. And Chazal tell us what was special about Yeshua. But you see that Yeshua was called Ish. And since he was called Ish, when it says here, Lechem Abirim Ochal Ish, it would seem that this Ish, Yeshua, he ate. Or if he ate, then the amount of mon that came down for him was equal to all the mon that came down for Klal Yisrael. Asks the Gemara, how do you know that Ish, Lechem Abirim Ochal Ish, is Yeshua? Va'ema Moshe, maybe it's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was also referred to as an Ish, Tichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Vaho Ish Moshe Onov Ma'oid, that Moshe was exceedingly humble. Answers the Gemara, Donin Ish Mi Ish. Here it says, Lechem Abirim Ochal Ish, and by Yeshua it says, Kach Lecho Es Yeshua Bin Nun Ish. So we learn Ish from Ish. Ve'ein donin ish, and we don't compare and learn that lechem abirim ochal ish from Moshe Rabbeinu, where it doesn't say ish, it says v'ho ish. And since ish and v'ho ish are somewhat different, therefore we'd rather learn ish ish and assume this is referring to Yeshua, that the mon that came down for him was keneged kol Yisrael. And Yemirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.